All right, I am here with Varina Patel and Jay Patel of Visual Wilderness. Welcome to Out of Chicago, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Yeah, well, and I just met you guys not too long ago. It was just maybe 4 or 5 months ago, right? At Mike Moat's macro conference, Varina was teaching macro photography, and we just hit it off. We love you guys. So, Ann and I were there, Ann Belmont and I, and we had so much fun with you guys. It was a great time. And then we were able to talk you into coming and teaching at the Out of Moab Landscape Photography Conference. You guys are actually doing the keynote presentation for that. So we're so excited to have you guys.
Yeah, we had actually said no to you, if you recall, because, you know, we're busy and we're not doing a lot of workshops and we're not doing a lot of speaking. And
I was trying not to tell anyone that. I didn't want anyone to know that.
Well, but the end of the story is good because we met you and we liked you so much and we liked, you know, the idea behind Out of Chicago so much that we decided to come out and do it after all.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. We have so many great photographers coming. I shouldn't hype it up too much because it's like totally sold out and we have a wait list and all this other stuff. But for those of you that are signed up, it's going to be an amazing experience in Moab, learning from these guys and all our other photographers. So super excited. And actually today we're going to talk about how to prepare for a photography adventure, whether it's landscape or macro or whatever it may be. We're going to talk about all those little things to get yourself ready so that when you get there, you're ready for a great experience. You're not fiddling with tripods and all that stuff, right? Is that the plan? Does that sound good?
That is the plan, Chris. And we're ready to get going on that. So
let's do it. Jay loves being in charge. So Jay, what would you like to start with?
So let's start with equipment, guys. So so the first thing that we do when we go on a travel anywhere is to make sure that we are able to most efficiently use our time for travel. Because I'll tell you that if I were to travel even 2 times a year, those trips, even within the United States, will cost me a few thousand dollars. That includes plane ticket and cars and lodging. So when I'm there, if I'm there for a week at a time, and even if it's only 2 weeks in a year, I want to make sure that I come away with some fantastic shots. And for that, you have to be ready when you're traveling. So the next 3 or 4 things we're going to talk about is to be able to get you ready. And the first thing on our list when we travel is equipment. We actually have a checklist of equipment that we tell photographers to bring along with them. And that includes stuff you think about, like photography gear, like tripods and cameras and lenses. But more importantly, it includes a non-photography gear as well. Because what is absolutely critical is if you don't have the proper gear that is non-photography gear, you won't be able to take good shots. So let me give you an example, a very simple example. You're going to Moab, and you guys are all excited to come to Moab and take these photos. And you get to Moab, and you go on one of the small excursions, and you are trying to photograph this gorgeous moonlight or gorgeous starlight and the hoodoos, and you want to try to light paint them. And if you don't have a headlamp, you'll be fumbling around in your bag and trying to figure out where the controls are in the camera. Or if you don't have a headlamp, your camera may not be able to focus because you need that headlamp to focus, that little bit of light to focus. So you'll be borrowing somebody's. So non-photography gear is just as critical as photography gear.
And you know, the expenses that Jay talked about, he didn't even include the cost of your camera, the cost of your tripod and your filters. You know, you want to get out there and you want to have a basic understanding of how to use those things so that when you're on location, you can actually take gorgeous photos rather than trying to learn how to use your equipment and coming home with photos you're disappointed in.
So we have, Chris, I have to tell you a story. Is we knew one of the guys who brought his brand new equipment. And when we went on a location first time on one of our workshops, he's opening the equipment as the sun is going down. Right?
Opening the box. You
his
know?
Boxes are opening. It was like, oh, this is brand new. I'm so excited to try it out. By the time he was finished trying to figure out how to use that equipment, it was all over. So the moral of the story is not only do you bring the right equipment, make sure you know how to use that equipment properly.
Yeah, to me, that's the most important thing. And practicing with your equipment. Like, I got a new tripod, and I was here in my office, and I'm extending the legs, I'm putting them back down, I'm putting the camera on top, taking it off, put it back on. I kept doing it over and over, and I looked in the doorway, my daughter's standing there, she's like, what are you doing? I'm practicing with the tripod. Because when you get to the point where you've got the sun going down, you want all of your brain cells going into creativity and coming up with a great shot, and not any having to go to fiddling with equipment.
Yeah. You can spend a lot of time fumbling with knobs. It's amazing.
That's right.
just to do a little self-promotion, and we can set you up with that, right? You can go to Visual Wilderness. And coming up next week, we actually have a membership drive. So you can become a year-long member. And we have almost 30 or so landscape photography courses. And
start from the beginning here. Okay, you guys run this site. It's called Visual Wilderness. And what was the idea behind it? You used to run workshops. You really don't anymore. And you would help people out in the field. But tell us the idea, the genesis behind starting the Visual Wilderness site.
So what happened was, we have been running workshops for, I don't know, over 10 years now. We were. And what we found is, when we did workshops, we taught on location the same lessons over and over again to people, right? So we would be teaching about, say, for example, hyperfocal distance. We would be repeating that lesson to a small group of people, 10 people, about how to use hyperfocal distance in the field. So one of the things we decided to do about 4 years ago is, hey, is there a way we could actually take that knowledge, put it on a video, and capture it, right? And that is what forms the basis of Visual Wilderness, right? We have a group of photographers that not only contribute blog posts, but then we have video courses that are filmed by Verena and I that actually show us working on location. So not only will you be able to see what the location looks like, because we have a film crew filming us, but you'll actually be able to see what's inside our camera. And all of these videos then are edited together, and you'll get a comprehensive look at a specific topic, like focusing, hyperfocal distance, exposure, composition, workflow, how to get it right in camera, working with light, wide angle lenses. So we have almost about 13 to 15 courses that are in-camera courses. And then we have partners, pretty well-known partners like Sean Bagshaw and Chip Phillips, who actually take those files that we produce on location and show you how to process them.
Yeah, and what I love is, it's not just like you said, you have a film crew. It's not like you just set up a camera and here's what you do. It's not like just some cheesy YouTube video thing that you're watching. You guys have this professional quality production, which doesn't waste any time. It gets exactly to what the people need to know, and you feel like you're right there with you guys when you watch the videos. That's what I love.
Yeah, and I think just for your listeners, we'll be glad to share a couple of videos that show us exactly what we mean by getting in there.
Oh, so I should like throw them in right here, right?
You can throw them. Yeah, you can throw them in right there.
All right.
You can provide links to your listeners in case podcast gets too long.
That's right. Okay, no. So right now we're going to pause, and here's examples. Okay, go. And now we're back. All right. Those were amazing, right? I haven't even seen them yet. I'm sure they were amazing. I mean, I haven't seen those particular ones is what I meant.
Some of our best.
So, yeah, for sure. So I love the way you guys do that. And the idea of learning something like hyperfocal distance, like, that is something that would be great to learn from you guys. But you don't necessarily want to go on this huge trip, like you said, and spend all of that money to get there to learn something that you could learn from a video. But there are other things that, once you learn that, now you are in the field with a photographer and they say, well, why don't you try and use that technique that you've learned and put it to use here? And that's when it's like, all right, now this makes sense. So you can go beyond just learning the basic technique and then working in the field and getting those shots. And so that's some of what we'll be doing in Moab with all those photographers. So the best, the most ideal situation would be become a member, watch the videos, learn the techniques, practice them in your backyard, practice them out at the park, practice them just somewhere near your house, and then come to Moab. And like you said, you don't have to fiddle with knobs. You got it figured out. You know what to do. But now these photographers are going to tell you how to put that to use. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? That was perfect, right?
Yeah,
you know what? It was better than perfect. But you know, the great thing about this is that, you know, you can ask questions on Visual Wilderness. You can, you know, get answers from us right there. We try and answer questions, you know, right there on Visual Wilderness underneath the video courses. But once you get to Moab and you're applying your knowledge on location, you're going to find that you have questions or you forget a detail here and there. And that's where it's great because you have the background, you've done it before, you've practiced it, but you have a bunch of professionals who are there who can help you out and really make you feel confident using this stuff. So you don't have to come with, you know, hard and fast knowledge and, you know, feel like a pro yourself. The idea is to walk in and feel really comfortable with what you're doing, so that you know what you don't know and you can ask questions.
I love it. Jay?
And no, I was just going to say, and that actually brings me up to my next topic.
Oh boy.
Getting ready to come to Moab, right? One of the ways to make best use of these videos is to do some research. So we started off by saying, okay, so what's great to shoot at Moab, right? You can shoot to all kinds of photography work. You can photograph harsh light. You can photograph star trails. You can photograph Milky Way. Moon, if there is supposed to be moonlight out there, you can do light painting, all of this. Now, when you do the research that you're going to be in Moab and here are the things you want to photograph, then you can target particular videos to watch to be able to use that research to say what kind of knowledge I need with the research to be able to make most of my trip to Moab.
All right. I have a question.
Go right ahead.
Well, that makes me think, is there an easy way to say, hey, for everyone that's going to Moab and that is a member of Visual Wilderness, here is almost like a track, or we could just make a list of links that would say these would be perfect videos to watch for that, or just make a list of them for people, right?
So that would be awesome, but we can even do one better, actually. When you become a Visual Wilderness, there are learning tracks that are available. And these learning tracks, so when you go into Visual Wilderness membership site, and there are learning tracks available, and these learning tracks actually are broken down by skill set. So, for example, say I'm a novice, and I've never been on a workshop before, and I am just getting started. And the first thing I want to know is, hey, I want to know about exposure. Right? How do I take exposure? Well, there's an exposure learning track that takes you through very basic about what an exposure is, what is an f-stop, all the way to how do I do high-speed bracketing. All right, and then there are three videos in there. Each of those videos will actually step through that. Similarly, there's a focus learning track. There is a learning track about composition, creating impact. So all of these learning tracks are actually built in. So rather than creating a specific video for Moab, what we would like to do is create a specific video tracks for people's skill set, because everybody's skill set is going to be different.
That's true.
We have these learning tracks that are already part of Visual Wilderness members. Now, what happens if you're not a member? Like, how do you know how to get started in landscape photography? So let's say this is your first workshop, and you've just purchased a new camera. Well, if you go to Visual Wilderness, there's a free learning guide there. And we will send you a link. And those learning guide takes you all the way from very beginning to becoming a pro landscape photographer and taking over Chris Smith's job and going into a business.
Yeah, I think you're a little off there, but we'll just let it go. They're taking over your job. Sorry, guys.
Oh, that's fine. We're ready to retire.
Perfect.
That's right. We have too many kids.
That's true.
So what else for research? How about like researching the area? Is that something we should do ahead of time? Or do we expect that when we go on a workshop that the leader's going to know exactly where to go, what to do? Or should we get ourselves excited and start researching things ahead of time?
I think, you know what, it's really about getting excited. The instructors there are going to be able to help you out. They're going to be able to point you in the right direction. They're going to, you know, if the light's doing something neat, they're going to let you know. But you do want to be kind of aware and ready for it. And Moab is amazing. The locations that are out there are nothing short of jaw-dropping. So yeah, I mean, by all means, do a little research and see what you're getting yourself into, because it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's research as far as your location. There's research that you can do looking into what kind of weather you're going to be looking at. You know, you want to be dressed appropriately. You don't want to be out there cooking or freezing. You want the appropriate footwear. You you can do that kind of research. You can also do a little research looking into the photographers who are going to be teaching there and finding out, you know, which ones kind of share your vision or have a vision that appeals to you. Because you may find that those are the ones whose brains you want to pick. For example, you might want to pick my brain and avoid Jay's brain or something like that, you know?
What brain?
Oh, right. What brain? Wait, are you saying I don't have a brain or you don't have one?
I don't have one.
Good answer. Good answer. No, okay.
Jay has one. It's just working overtime all the time, I think. So yeah, just be careful. that's a really good point, because a big decision that people are going to have to make, something they're really going to have to put some time into if they're doing this event with us, is choosing their excursion. So you're mm-hmm. going to want to go with photographers that, you know, you kind of mesh with in terms of the way that you shoot. A lot of people are real like run around, take quick shots and go on. Others are like, we're going to stay in one spot and we're going to set up tripods. We're going to be there the whole time. So, and a lot of our photographers are on like YouTube, and you can see what they're like. And is that someone that you think you're going to work well with? But also you're going to pick the photographer and the location you're going to. So there's a reason to research those locations and say, yeah, I really want those grand vistas, or I want the arches, or whatever it may be. So, whether you're doing your own adventure or coming on our thing, you want to kind of know those things ahead of time.
And different people learn differently too. And different photographers have different teaching styles. So you may learn better from a particular teaching style than some other photographer's teaching style. Mm-hmm. So you want to know what photographer's teaching styles are, go to the YouTube videos, take a look at them, and just make sure that you're comfortable and you want to spend more time with a particular set of photographers and others, then by all means, that's how you're going to make most of your trip going to Moab. But I also wanted to point out of what Verena said earlier is, Verena said, hey, you need to be doing the research even if you're going out with somebody. What that lets you do is that lets you get into the mindset of doing research, because sooner or later, you're going to go out on your own without a leader. Right? I mean, yeah, great. Workshops are awesome, but they're also expensive. And you can go to Moab on your own and do some photography. And if you do, you need to be able to know how to do the research. So just from a practice perspective, take a look at what can you expect when you get on ground, and what kind of weather patterns, temperature-wise, what kind of terrain you're going to be working with, and then make sure that your equipment, photography and non-photography gear, then matches up with where you're expected to be.
And you know what? That is a perfect segue to Jay's next talking point, which is flexibility, because the reality is you can do all the research you want, and when you get on location, the sky may decide that it really isn't interested in your research. You know, it just because it says that most of the time this time of year it's supposed to be 80 degrees and sunny, it may be 35 degrees and pouring rain. You know, it happens. So I guess, you know, what I'm saying is you've got to go into this prepared and ready to be really flexible. Be ready to shoot in any type of light. Be ready to work in any type of weather conditions. Be ready to work with people that aren't necessarily like you, and maybe even push yourself to pair up with some of these groups that maybe don't sound like they're right up your alley. You know, if you're choosing your excursions, choose a few that sound amazing to you, and then maybe choose one or two that are outside of your comfort zone, because if you can be flexible like that, you can stretch your own, you can stretch your comfort zone. You can become comfortable with things you never thought were going to be particularly comfortable for you. And it's a great way to learn.
Yeah, the flexibility is something that we always make sure that we teach our photographers. So when we were out with a film crew first time ever, it was sponsored by Enduro, our sponsors, and they sent a film crew. And all of us did a lot of research, and we decided we're going to go to Banff, and we're going to do this awesome inspirational film that I will give to Chris to share with everybody. What happened was we went there, and as soon as we got there, we found out that the area that was spectacularly green and pristine was just devastated by the floods just 2 months ago. And the location we had picked out to go hiking, the road was eaten away by the floods. It was just terrible. I mean, the conditions were really bad. Now, we had this film crew, and we had to make it work. So we had to be flexible to get it to work. So the film that you see was a result of flexibility that Verena and I took upon ourselves and saying, all right, well, so our plan goes out the window. What else can we do?
And we had done enough research to be able to be flexible. You know, we knew what else was out there. We knew the other places we could go. We knew what we had to work with. And that meant we could be very, very flexible. And we came away with a really fun little film. It worked out.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to flexibility is just your mindset, that you have something in mind that you think, okay, it's going to look like this. And when you get there, it's nothing like that. When we went to Scout Acadia for our first landscape conference, when we went there, we went to the famous Bass Harbor Lighthouse, and we're like, oh, I've seen so many great photos of the sun setting and everything. And we got there, it was completely fogged in. We couldn't see anything. And I mean, we could just barely see the light coming from the lighthouse through the fog. And so many people get to that situation and they're like, this isn't what I wanted. I'm packing it up. But to be able to look at it and say, hey, you know, this is a situation that nobody else has, and not too many people have seen just like this. What could I do? This is the only chance to get something like this. So we made really cool photos of the beams coming through the fog and mm-hmm. waves on the rocks. And it was, I mean, I think that's what you got to do rather than just think this is, you know, what I had in mind. Just be ready to shoot something else too.
Yeah. And remember, it's the experience that matters. It's about the experience, not necessarily the finished product. So if you're out there and you're enjoying it and you're being creative and you're having fun, that's really far more important than coming away with the perfect photo.
I was going to ask you, like, what would be your number one goal if you were going on a trip just for yourselves? You know, you were going out, is it to get that epic photo, or is it more about that experience? Because to me, I feel like it's the experience that, and who I was with and all of that, to me, is so much more important.
Yeah, it's really great to get amazing photos. It is. It feels amazing. But, you know, when I look back on the places we've been, I remember more than anything else the experience of being there, the, you know, what it felt like to go snorkeling, or what it felt like to get to the top of the peak, or just to be hiking in the woods, the wind, the rain, the fog, you know, whatever it is. And yeah, I mean, I love getting a great photo. I do it for a living because I love it, but it's about the experience for me. If I don't get those experiences, I quit. if I don't get the photos, that's all right. I'll just keep doing it for the experiences.
And I can tell you that Raina remembers one particular experience more than anything else, which was a close encounter with the icebergs.
Are we going to hear that story now?
No, we're not going to go into the story.
It's a long one.
I think I can actually go into experience of great landscape photography we can do a whole podcast for it, but I think we're going to save that one for Moab.
I think the important thing is that most experiences are much less painful. And as long as they remain less painful, I'm in.
but I wanted to address a little bit about the comfort zone that Verena talked about earlier. And I wanted to tell you guys that pushing your comfort zone is absolutely critical for good landscape photography. And when Verena and I met, my comfort zone and my style of photography was great light. Have to get that shot. I don't care if I stay up all night, drive 5 hours to get there. And I've done that on many occasions and have gotten great photos. But Reina's style was very different. When we first started, her style was like, yeah, oh, I'm here. Look at this beautiful place. Let's just shoot here.
We were driving through Utah once, and we had been going for, I mean, just hours and hours of driving because Jay had a finished product.
It was Olympic.
He knew where he wanted to be. He knew, oh, was it Olympic?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Utah. This is a different trip, but that's okay. Oh. It happened in Olympic as well. yes, you're right. It happened in Olympic, but this was Utah. But anyway, you know, hours and hours of driving. And I finally, you know, I would be like, oh, wow, look at that.
Nope.
My gosh. Wow. Okay. You know, and finally I said, you know what? You have got to stop and photograph along the way because we just missed a good 500 amazing locations. And we may or may not get the incredible light that you're thinking about, you know, that you can see in your mind's eye when we arrive. And he's been a lot better about that.
Well, it also diversifies.
Less driving, more experiencing.
Yeah. And it also diversifies your portfolio. Because, yeah. I mean, great locations are great, but then you get things that are in unknown locations and a different kind of light condition. And it creates diversity in your portfolio that is actually really good if you are trying to sell your work or license your work.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm thinking about getting out of my comfort zone, and exactly what you guys said is that it's kind of hard. I mean, people love it as landscape photographers to go hike and go on this long thing by yourself. But then you always kind of do the same thing, I think. It's when you go with a photo buddy or with Verena, you know, whoever. and you're like, wow, I never even thought about trying that. And to me, I think that's why I was saying the experience. I think that to me, photography is better as a social experience. When you're out with a group or just out with a friend and you're like, oh, I never even thought about trying that. That's when you're like, all right, I'll try something different. More than if you're just out by yourself and you think you know what you're doing and you just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a perfect segue into our next topic, which is creativity, right? What you're talking about is being able to learn to see. Now, everybody has a mindset of how they see things in nature, what impacts them. But one of the best things about workshop and people who are coming to Moab and people who have gone to your workshops before will see is if you were to take 10 people at a location and then put all their images together and compare, you'll see how different they are. Now, a lot of people are surprised or like, why did I not see that? or how come you saw that? But, you know, with Verena and I, we have several blog posts that are just about what happens when we shoot on locations together. And
our tripods can be, you know, legs tangled, and yet we come away with photos that are different. We're using different lenses. We're using different filters, different shutter speeds and apertures, and we come away... Yeah, there are a lot of times where you couldn't tell that we were standing in the same location. You just wouldn't know because we have different things going on in our heads. And that's what's really neat about a workshop like this, where you have a whole group of people. You get to see what other people are thinking, what's going on in their heads, and how they're taking what they see in front of them, filtering it through their own experiences and ideas and vision, and what comes out the other end. It's incredible.
So that learning to see is a creative part of photography. So when you do come on a workshop or if you're traveling on your own, that creativity is really important. And the research, the pushing yourself on your boundaries, they all sort of form and lead you to be creative. And creative in your thinking and creative in your problem solving will get you better photos than you will get with the newest camera and the most expensive lens. I can tell you that.
For sure.
And we try to tell people our philosophy is, if I have $5,000 extra and I am deciding whether to buy that Sony A7, whatever, Mark 8 or Mark 9 or whatever the latest is, or I can take that $5,000 and go to New Zealand, I will with the same equipment that I have today, I will come away with far better shots going to New Zealand for 3 weeks with that $5,000 than with that Mark 8 camera that I bought. So that creativity is incredibly important. And you can develop creativity by forcing yourself to see. And we also have a couple of very unique courses on visual wilderness called Creating Impact that uses Gestalt principles of perception to tell you how your brain will interpret an image. So it's a really unique course, and it's a two-part learning track that tells you how you can use composition and perception to create impact for your images.
That's really cool. What we've seen, like when we went to Acadia, which was great for creativity, is exactly what you're saying, that different people see things different ways. And sometimes you don't see it till you get back. But it's also great when you're all working together and one person's like, ooh, look what I just got on the back of their camera.
Right.
And people are like, and some people are worried to do that because then another person's going to be like, oh, I'm going to do the exact same thing. But what always happens is it just gives people an idea. And then they're going to be like, all right, I'm going to try something like that with something in the foreground, but something different. Or I'm going to try it slightly different. But that's how people help each other with their creativity, is by sharing and then trying different things.
Yeah. And a lot of times you're 2 days later, you're in a different location and you're shooting. And all of a sudden you go, you know what? That photo, the guy from the earlier session showed me, just, you know, oh my gosh, I can do something like that here. So it really doesn't necessarily result in copycat photography. It just gives you another tool or another idea or inspiration for later on.
I think copycat photography, a lot of photographers are worried about it, and rightfully so. But our attitude about copycat photography is, we've been photographing so long together, is that sharing of knowledge, more than creating copycat, influences our style. And that influence of style produces far better results long term than trying to copycat one particular photograph in one particular location. So keep in mind that open sharing of ideas will spark inspiration, will spark ability for you to see things in future. And the more open you are and the more interaction you have with your fellow photographers and peers on location, the more ideas you'll get, not just today, but 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm. So, and the more you share, the more they'll share with you.
Yep. I would highly encourage people to share.
Yeah, and you get feedback. When somebody says, you know, you're going to hear the difference between, oh yeah, that's nice, and oh, wow, you know, and that makes a huge difference. Just being out there, hearing what people have to say. And somebody will say, you know, oh, I like what you did with the composition there, but you weren't even thinking about composition. You were thinking about shutter speed. You know, so you say, oh, okay, there's something else in this image that I didn't think of. Maybe you look at your photo and you go, actually, I don't think the composition does quite what I want it to do. And you've noticed something you didn't notice a moment ago. So you can use your shutter speed that you liked, adjust your composition, and you've come away with a better photo. You know, it's cumulative. It's incredible to work with other people. And for Jay and I as instructors, teaching workshops for all those years, we learned so much from our students.
Correct.
So at this point, my internet completely went out, and I'm really sorry. Sorry to you guys. Sorry to Jay and Verena. But we picked it back up on my phone. So things are going to look a little crazy here, and we're going to finish the interview. All right, here we go.
I thought so too. All right, it's recording. Okay. So let's see. All right, so we were talking about what? I forgot. I totally lost my thought.
Look at Chris's phone.
I was spinning. I'm sorry.
I wish you'd keep doing that.
It's going to be a headache.
Let's
more interesting.
Let Chris give a little explanation or something. Or?
Yeah. The internet was done listening to Verena, and so it totally shut off. I'm so sorry.
I'm the one who should be sorry.
You should be, but yeah. I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm on my phone. This is crazy. So I'm on my phone, so I can spin around now. And let's just wrap this up. What were you saying, Verena? I don't even remember.
I don't know. It was something really intelligent, though.
It was profound. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We were actually talking about creativity, and we were kind of wrapping it up. We were just saying how important it is to be with other people and learn from them and be inspired by what they're doing, and how big an impact that can have on your photography and your style.
So
absolutely. All right.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to wrap things up. What were you going to say, Jay?
So I was just going to summarize what we talked about in four sessions. And so we talked about four things, right? So first of all, you have to be ready to go to Moab. Make sure you make a list of things you want to bring, photography and non-photography wise. Do the research. Make sure you know what you're going to shoot. Do the research about location as well as the photographers you're going to spend time with, because this is a workshop and you want to make sure that you talk to people, talk to photographers.
You want to wring out every single drop of knowledge that you can get from your instructors. You want to get as much out of this as is humanly possible. So do a little research and find out what you can get from it.
And even with doing the research, be flexible. When you arrive on the location, you may not expect to find what you're hoping for. Those clouds may not show up. You could be out in a harsh light. You need to figure out what to shoot and how to shoot under all kinds of conditions. And for that, flexibility and creativity are really important. Be prepared to be creative. Come with open mind, share ideas, look at other people's work, and push yourself into directions that you have not gone before, because you don't know what you're going to end up getting. You may end up getting some amazing shots that you never were thinking about.
Okay. Absolutely.
Did I miss anything, sweetheart?
Were you talking to me?
Yeah. We both call you sweetheart now, Chris. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. No, that was great. So so to be prepared, we want people to go to visualwilderness.com. We're going to have a link in the show notes here, and you'd be a member of the site, and that way you're ready to go when you get on location, whether you're coming with us to Moab or going to your own thing, right?
That is correct, and we have a special sale going on until the 16th of this month, and I will give you the link, Chris. You can share it with your members. They will be $60 off for Visual Wilderness membership, and that is not for just this year. That is for life. So if you join, your price will remain the same. We'll add new videos. They're all accessible free. And
we always have new stuff.
You're going to be making some in Moab, right?
We'll be making some in Moab too. We don't exactly know what exactly at this point.
Yeah, and you know what? I should point out that Visual Wilderness, it's not just Jay and I. Visual Wilderness is a group of photographers, some of the best photographers in the world. But we don't just look for great photographers. We look for great photographers who can teach, who can write, and who are just amazing people. So, you know, these people are the cream of the crop. We are really specific about what we're looking for our contributors. And, you know, as a member of Visual Wilderness, you get access to all those amazing people.
And there are people who are coming to Moab as instructors who are also part of Visual Wilderness.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of examples. Sarah Marino, Josh Cripps. So you'll find a ton of people that you will recognize in Visual Wilderness community.
That's right. And you don't have to worry about your internet going out to hang out with them if you're with us in Moab.
That's right. That's the reason for the workshop.
That's right. All right. Anything else you guys want to add? This is great. My arm's getting tired holding my phone. I don't think I could do this normally.
You have two hands. You can actually.
I have been. Oh. I have been.
Just trying to help.
Thank you.
Now, we'll do another one of these conferences when we get closer to Moab.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Great talking to you.
Thank you.
See everybody in Moab.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.